podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Sam Keir, host of Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. For the past 12 months, I've been talking to T20 star David Visa, getting his take from behind the scenes at the IPL, the 100 and the rest of the world's biggest leagues.
That's the Donny Review system, Diogis. There's no ways in my mind that was up.
These guys don't know how to win at this stage.
He had his driver pick him up in his Bentley.
People start chanting your name. You kind of have to pinch yourself.
Hitman for Hire, a year in the life of a franchise cricketer. Listen now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sport Social.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hello, Aston Villa fans, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast in a winning post-match. It seems like forever since we've done a winning post-match review. I do have my man on the ground this year. I'm going to see if we can get him in and if we've better reception this time. So, Paddy, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Excellent. Delighted to have you. So, as we all know, Paddy was doing bouncer on the door of Villa Park today. That's where he's got the sunglasses. No, Paddy, you were in your seat the whole end. Yeah, nervous to end it, but good to win.
Look, after 78 minutes, I was waxing lyrical about how wonderful this was. And then he makes a substitution, which just completely put us on the back foot.
Which one was that, Paddy?
Funnily enough, the Danny Ings one.
Yeah, I can see why, like, it was a warm day. And to bring off Danny Ings and bring on Leon Bailey, I think it was just to have a bit more legs up there. So I can understand why that substitution was made. But let's talk about, I suppose, go back to the start, because I didn't get your views on the team sheet that was announced.
I have to say,
we look a lot better with Mings in there.
We did, didn't we? I have to say, I was delighted for him. He got a great reception. I thought the fans were excellent today. They clapped him onto the pitch. When he's warming up, they clapped him and they sang his name. And I think there's a general outpouring of happiness for him to be back in the team. And I think he more than made up for anything that was going on today. I thought he was excellent.
Yeah, I agree. Just a couple of thank yous there for guys. Thanks so much to Sam Bentley. Thanks a million for that. He says a tenner for our magic number 10, Buendia. We will get on to him in a moment. Change the game. And Mike Warrenbowl, thank you so much as well, Mike. Really, really appreciate that. That's so kind. I suppose there's a lot of context in this. There was some pressure on that game today. We alluded to it going into the game. There was some amount of pressure. And Gerrard went to two up top. And I think I have to say that's probably one of the top three, or maybe even the top two after Southampton last season, games that Ings and Watkins have played together, because, you know, he tried something different, and I think they played well, and I think they occupied the back three a small bit better than just one person up top would have.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but again, Ollie Watkins, my God, decision making, in a number of times. He could have put Ramsey in and just completely bottled it and took too long on the ball. He took a touch when he should have hit the ball first time in front of goal. He's a man that needs a goal, and it's just not happening for him. Albeit he got two assists today, but for me, Danny Ings is just a danger. And he occupied two defenders. Every time the ball came up, there was two of them on him. And it was brilliant. There was loads of space because of it. And he said in the in the preview that it needed to be two up top, and I'm glad it was two up top because it made all the difference.
Yeah, Coutinho is going to be a talking point, I think. Obviously, he's gone off injured. It looked like he maybe pulled his calf or something. He's going to be a talking point because Buendia came on, and I thought Buendia was absolutely outstanding when he came on. The way that he changed the game, just the fact that he moved across the line as opposed to the way that the way that Coutinho kind of held his position through the centre. Buendia, I suppose, really has to start. I think that that's probably a rhetorical question in a lot of people's eyes now.
Well, I think there's serious questions being asked of Steven Gerrard if he picks Coutinho over Buendia again. Buendia, he was an absolute joy to watch. He warmed up in front of us with Douglas Luiz. I've never seen a fella with a forced touch like this. This fella, he can literally do anything with a football. He's absolutely incredible. He creates passes and chances without even looking. He knows where everybody is. When you just think, oh, there's no way he's getting to this, he gets to it. He gets something on it. He's just an incredible football brain that he has. And, you know, it was a joy to watch today. He really was a joy to watch today. Coutinho, on the other hand, in fits and starts, got involved, but just for all over play and the amount of time he gets on the ball, it's without a doubt Buendia for me. He's absolutely magic, absolutely unbelievable play.
My man of the match, I thought today, who I thought was absolutely outstanding, didn't put a foot wrong. And I see a couple of comments here whereby people are talking about the tactics that we had throughout the game were non-existent. I have to vehemently and 100%. And look, everybody can be right if they want to be. I don't really care. I have to disagree because I think the tactics that we played with Boubacar Kamara today were absolutely 100% spot on. We were playing against a team that had a rotating false nine at times where Demarai Gray was going into the centre or Gordon was going into the centre. And we needed to have those. Boubacar Kamara played that role absolutely perfect today. And he played it differently than how we played the role against Bournemouth as well. John McGinn, for me, I thought was wasteful. Somebody I thought was lucky to see out the 90 minutes. It wasn't a perfect performance by any means, but I thought Boubacar Kamara was really, really good. How did he look in real life, Paddy?
He just had that sixth sense to be where the ball is going. Reminds me of the way John Terry reads the game. It was a joy to sit behind him there in the first half and watch him just glide across the turf and just anticipate where that ball is going to be. He's going to be a star. I go as far as saying we're going to struggle to hold on to him in years to come. If we don't push on, we're going to struggle to hold on to him. He's absolute baller. He really is. And he's not. I think he's one missed pass. He's incredible. You know, he just passes the ball so easy. It's just a joy to watch. There's just this thing about him where he caresses the ball. He doesn't force anything. There's no pinging balls around the place. It's just pinpoint pass, defeat, nothing to worry about, and We're on the ascendancy again. I can't say enough about him. I'm looking forward to watching it back again, from a different angle than in them, because to me it just seemed like he bossed the game. He absolutely bossed the game.
And it is one of those games, I think, Paddy, that when you look back at it on TV, and I know when I watch it back a second time without having the emotion, knowing exactly what's happened, I'm going to pick up more positives from this game, I think, than I probably picked up when I was watching it. And I thought there was some good positives. I thought our fullbacks weren't as gung-ho as they have been. I thought Mings was really good. Diego Carlos was, like, that ball would still be travelling that he hit that cracked off Nathan Patterson. But I suppose it is important, and there's a lot of comments here, and we'll get to some of the comments here again. Everton were poor, but I thought Bournemouth were very poor last week as well. They hit us with two set pieces. Everton tried to do the same, and they very nearly did. We do need to tighten up with our set pieces. But what we did against Everton today that we couldn't do against Bournemouth is we were able to bring the ball through the centre. I thought Jacob Ramsey was pivotal in that because Coutinho wasn't getting any licking until Buendia came on. So there, for me, are the positives. But did Ramsey got man of the match on BT Sport? Who would your man of the match have been, Paddy, or was this?
It was an easy choice for me. It would have been Kamara. But I have to say, JJ, while he was poor last week, I thought he was absolutely excellent today. From the minute go, I think it was about 5 minutes in, he had beaten the full-back twice down the wing. It's just incredible to watch him. He's just to watch him in the flesh after being a little bit down on him for a couple of weeks after pre-season and last week. And then he puts in that performance today. I thought he was absolutely excellent.
I agree.
I think it's very hard and very harsh to pick a man of the match when you look across. Like the only person I have anything negative to say about is Ollie Watkins, unfortunately.
When you watch it back, I think you'll have a different opinion on it, because I think while he didn't get on the ball, he was making lots of runs across the defenders. And for me, I would say, if I was to say that John McGinn was the only person I have something negative to say about in the game, like when I look here, and even if you just open up who scored him rated as the second highest. Paddy, maybe we're totally off the wall, the two of us, because they have McGinn rated as the second highest scoring player in the whole game, and they have Watkins rated as the third highest scoring player. Watkins got two assists, by the way, as well. So that's I had him on my fantasy team. So maybe we're picking up the wrong end of the stick. I just thought McGinn's distribution at times was not where it needed to be. And, you know, I'm expecting higher things of him. I'm holding him to a higher standard now with the captain's armband, just like I would have held any other player that got the captain's armband to a higher standard as well.
I lost you there for a minute, but like in Mings's or in McGinn's defence, I thought he was absolutely brilliant as well. A couple of decisions went astray, a couple of balls played out of play, but these things are going to happen. You got to remember that. I'm struggling here to walk to the pub. Imagine those guys poor are playing Petty. In that heat. You know, it's fucking incredible heat. I never experienced heat like it in Villa Park. I swear to God, when the water break came, I went and got a bottle of water myself.
Yeah.
You know, it's madness. Yeah.
That says so, it all. It looks like Diego Carlos, Western Wood, has said here that Diego Carlos' injury isn't as simple. It's an actual ankle injury and he's going to need to go for scans. That's not good news. But then again, if we were to lose anybody in any area of the field, centre half were pretty well stocked. I wonder, does this stop Courtney House from going out on loan? If he's loaned, has to be ratified.
It really depends how bad it is. He looks like the kind of fella that it would take an awful lot to leave him down on the pitch like that. So, yeah. It was a little bit worrying when it happened. But as you say, we're stacked. We've got players there that can do it. But he'd be a big loss because I thought he was very good as well today.
Big thing for me, as I say, and it is worth mentioning too. Look, Villa needed to get a win. We've often played against teams that were absolutely dire. Like lads, the time has changed the opinion of how Bournemouth played last season. I read comments on Twitter, and I know Twitter is the marketplace of lies and deception. But like, you see stuff on Twitter whereby we made Kiefer Moore look like Cristiano Ronaldo, and we just didn't last week. We didn't. We owned the ball. We just couldn't break them down. Bournemouth were rubbish last week, and that's why I was so disappointed that we should have broke them down. We couldn't break them down. They were rubbish going forward. They didn't, like, we owned the ball. Today, we owned the ball a small bit less, but we got the job done. And I think a win is a win. We needed a win badly, badly, badly needed a win today. And hopefully we go out against Palace. And now games become a must-not-lose game as opposed to a must-win game, even at this early part of the season, I think.
Yeah. Look, the most important thing is to get the points on the board. I'm very happy to be here talking about a win because I thought it's at one stage there, very close to the end, that we would be discussing something like what happened against Wolves last season. So to come out of it with 3 points, I think, is the most important thing. And hopefully that injury isn't too bad because that's the one real downer on today.
Exactly. Let's take a look at some of the comments there, Paddy. If you need to drop off at any stage, don't be afraid.
I'm going to pop off here because I have to get in out of this heat. It's absolutely incredible.
Yeah. So nothing better to get out of dehydrating heat than to get into a pub and drink some dehydrating alcohol. So I know your pain. Wind yourself. Good luck. So there goes Paddy. A couple of comments there, guys. I'm just going to try and see some of them there. Yeah, so Keith Cassidy says that Greg Evans is reporting that Gerrard and the medical staff are very concerned about Diego Carlos. I hope it's not a break. He came off under his own weight on his own. So I'm hoping I don't hope anything. I hope there's nothing wrong with him, if that makes sense. But I would be hoping that it's obviously not a break or anything like that. So maybe it's ligaments, maybe it's something like that. But hopefully it's nothing and he's back after a week or two. Hopefully he goes to the witch doctor that Ezri Konsa went to, that got him back in 6 or 8 weeks as opposed to 16 weeks, and that we can get him back back up and running as well. I don't know about this, Andrew. I don't know. Like, I don't think we were disorganized at all. Like, we have to remember, guys. We have to remember that like the other teams allowed to play football as well. You know, and I don't think we were that disorganized in the second half. Like, we still, even in the second half, I'm just trying to see what the statistics show here. What was our possession in the second half. So first half, yeah, so we still owned the ball in the second half. We had 53% possession as opposed to 47. Look, I can completely understand the last 10 minutes were hairy and we looked like we were all over the place. I think that's probably more of a mental thing from the players for sure, because they knew we needed this win. They absolutely knew we needed this win. We went 1-0 up. Yeah, and it did get hairy. Don't get me wrong. This isn't a perfect performance at all. But I think it was more so the fact that Everton made changes. Everton went to a 4-2-3-1 in the second half, as opposed to that kind of weird 4-3-3 that they played in the first half. And I think by bringing on Rondon and he caused a small bit more, like he didn't get in the ball at all, but I think that focal point. Anthony Gordon is a good player, although he's an annoying person. Like he went down for that thing on Mings. That was a stupid, like genuinely, if they went back to look at that for a penalty incident in VAR and they saw what happened, you should be able to book Anthony Gordon for that, because he went down holding his face and then pretending his jaw was dislocated, doing the whole moving his jaw left and right. And the hand didn't go anywhere near his face. You know, that stuff has to be ruled out. And conversely, when he got the goal, when he was ruled offside, which was very lucky for Aston Villa, we're not brushing over any of these points. Luca Dean had a full fistful Dwight McNeil's jersey. The full fistful of, no, it wasn't. Who was it? I can't remember who it was. Conor Cody's jersey. It was at the back post. And, you know, they couldn't give a penalty for that either because they were checking for offside, which was really fortuitous, I think, for Aston Villa. But I think we owned the ball. We had a lot of possession. Our problems are obviously going to be creativity, and our problems are going to be, which I thought we did a lot more of today, it must be said. There was passages there in the second half where Buendia had a lovely little header in just into the box, and I think Ramsey ran onto it. Watkins got a couple of chances where he hit one off Pickford. It was a poor, poor, poor finish, poor first touch. Went to touch it with his right foot as opposed to his left foot, and then left himself a shot in his left foot, and he couldn't dink it over the goalkeeper. It was really poor. But I thought he did a lot of good work today. So I think that this organization really comes from it. And as I say, if anybody does watch this back again, and I know I'm going to watch it back at the earliest opportunity, I think I'll find a bit more positives from our structure and from the way that we set up. But I'll probably find a lot more negatives once again from set pieces, because we didn't look great from set pieces at times again. And I was delighted that Emi Martinez started to come for those crosses in the last 5 minutes, because that was something that we didn't see against Bournemouth, and it's something that we didn't see in the first half as such. And, you know, something commanding like that needed to be done. So I think a win is a win, guys. And onwards from here. Like if people, I can understand why people go away from this and go, oh, we should have beaten Everton 4-0 today. We had the chances to do it. We didn't have any chances against Bournemouth. And I think for me, that's a positive. That is a positive. Like, we had some really good chances today. Yes, we should have absolutely finished them 100%. But I think that the fact that we made the chances today is a stepping stone based on what we saw this day last week. So just looking here, we had 4 shots on target, 4 shots off target, 4 shots blocked. And yeah. So that was it. Remember, guys, as well, the only reason that it was such a squeaky bum time for the last 5-10 minutes was that we conceded an own goal. Everton didn't look like scoring at all. Like, that own goal was really, for anybody who was at the game and watches this back, you'll see how unfortunate it was for Luca Dean. We didn't speak about it at all. Onana comes on. He is a monster, an absolute beast. Onana, 20 years of age, he's going to be huge. He's going to be a huge player for Everton. He was just physically bigger and stronger than everybody else in the field. He's just a freak of nature. But he came on and he played a lovely ball across. Martinez gets a hand to it and deflects it into Dina's path, who couldn't move his feet, and it just squirts in by the post. Really poor mental fortitude from Aston Villa. Straight from the kickoff, Matty Cash was caught down that wing. Straight from the goal. I'd have to watch it back just to see. I think there was someone else over there with him as well, but it was just a big, strong man there that kind of got in around him. And then I'm not going to sit here and dig out Luca Dean for that. I thought he was okay in this game. Don't think he was spectacular by any means, But I think it's bloody impossible for him to get out of the way, considering that the ball was kind of, if you watch it back, Martinez kind of push, gets a fingertip to it, deflects it almost onto Luca Dean's his back leg, if that makes sense, and then it goes into the goals. Very misfortunate. And one of those things that happens to Aston Villa. Just happens to Aston Villa. We go 2-0 up. We should have a party atmosphere. We should all be here going, yes, that was brilliant to see out the game, but we can't because we're Villa fans. We're not allowed to have nice things. As we see with Diego Carlos now potentially having a rather serious ankle injury. We can't have nice things, and it needs to stop at some stage. This bad juju and this bad karma at times is a bit of a pisser. But we make our own luck, and we go out against Palace next week, and hopefully we see a more coherent performance for the 90 minutes, which is something we have been talking about with Steven Gerrard's team since he came in. All right, guys, I am going to probably leave it at that. There's a ton of comments in here. I thank you all for your comments. Actually, Supermark, this is, I'm going to look back by it. I thought that he was being pulled back as well, Luca Dean, but VAR doesn't get involved. I can't remember what changes they made to VAR, but I think that's one of them. And the opposite of it is that Luca Dean got lucky when he dragged Conor Cody back for that offside decision, that they couldn't give a penalty for that. I don't know whether they could or whether they couldn't, but yeah, it's it is what it is. A win's a win, and we'll get away with that, and we'll build on it, and we'll regroup. We're looking for 90 minutes. We're looking for 90 minutes now, and hopefully that will come against Palace next weekend, albeit that it is a away fixture. So, guys, I'm going to leave it at that. Thanks so much, everybody. Get out into the sun. Go in, enjoy yourselves, whatever you want to do today. And Villa have won. Our weekend isn't ruined for once. Enjoy it. And we'll be back. I'll probably be back again tomorrow. I'll see if I can sit down, watch it again tomorrow, maybe pick out some tactical things that I find from it, as I enjoy doing those tactical analysis. So keep an eye on Twitter, and you'll see if we might go live again tomorrow night around 9:30, if you so wish to join us. But thanks so much, everybody, for stopping by. Really appreciate it. Enjoy that win. Hopefully better things are to come. 3 points, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Sports Social Podcast Network.